Well, for those who don't know, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here. And I'm so grateful. I really am. I'm so grateful. You know, just seeing, here's what I'm grateful for. I get a front row seat to see what God is doing in your lives, because many of you are telling me. I've gotten so many emails, people bumped into me in other places, and they're just like, Rick, I got to tell you what God is doing. God is growing your heart. God is doing something in you. And the privilege, man, what a privilege it is that I get to see all that. You see, you don't get to hear all those stories. And I'm sorry, I wish there was a time and place I could share all these stories with you. But I'm telling you, God is at work and he's moving and he's transforming our hearts together. And he's doing something here. So we got to jump into this new teaching series that we're starting today, things that Jesus never said. But before we do, here's what I'm going to ask us to do. I'm going to ask you to quiet your mind and to ask you to invite the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. Because you're here, the Holy Spirit wants to teach you something today. If he hasn't already taught you something through the songs that we sang and the truth of who God is, if he hasn't already taught you something, he wants to teach you something through his word, or he wants to use both. So let's pray. Will you quiet your mind? Maybe that means you need to put your phone on do not disturb. Would you put out of your mind what's next? And will you just use this space to be quiet before God? To quiet your mind and your heart. And ask, Holy Spirit, would you just pray that prayer in your mind, in your heart? Holy Spirit, teach me. I'm open to receiving what you have for me today. Pray that. And Holy Spirit, I need your help. Please help me. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So in this new series, Things That Jesus Never Said, here's what happens. So many of us as Christ followers will hear statements in these pithy truism statements. Things like money is the root of all evil. Things like when God closes a door, he opens a window. Things like cleanliness is next to godliness. Is that how that goes? Or follow your heart. You know, these types of sayings, they're out there. We hear them. The culture says these to us. And somehow, many times, we think, oh, that's somewhere Jesus said that, right? And many times, the truth is, the scripture actually teaches just the opposite of some of those very truisms that we think are in the Bible. So for the next 6 weeks, we are going to go through a book of the Bible. This is going to be very topical. We're going to go through six sayings that our teaching team has landed on. And we're going to just discover, what does the Bible say about these? How does this compare? So just get ready. Today, we're going to be all throughout the Bible, right? And maybe what would be best for you is to write down these references, write down where we're going, and then go back and read them. Because there's one thing I don't like, other preachers who take verses out of context, right? So please, I just don't have time to give you the context for all these passages. I'm encouraging you, go read the whole paragraph or the whole chapter so that you can see the context for yourself. Today, here's the phrase. Here's one of the phrases. Whether you've heard it said like this, trust your heart, listen to your heart, follow your heart. For the guys, trust your gut, because guys don't have a heart, right? So trust your gut. But in all of this, it's really the mindset behind this is whatever makes you happy, right? Follow your heart. You do you. We've heard that. Like all those type of truisms are there. Now, before I go any further, I do want to say this. I am not saying, please do not hear me say this. I am not saying ignore your feelings and your emotions. In fact, you need to pay attention to them. We did a teaching series on that very fact, emotionally healthy spirituality. So do not walk away from here, or if you're watching me online, do not quote me unfairly by saying, oh, Rick is saying suppress your emotions. No, I am not saying that at all. Okay? So, but here's what I am saying. Our emotions, they are a great servants, but terrible masters. Like, we need to pay attention to those feelings, those emotions that we have. But then you need to unpack that and ask the question, why is that there? Why am I feeling like that? And how does that align to the scriptures? See, the scriptures, Jesus is our master, not our emotions and our feelings. We can't get that backwards. So today, the big idea is this. As a Christ follower, the goal isn't to follow your heart to be happy, but to align your heart to Jesus' heart. And I'm telling you, Christ follower, when you align your heart to Christ's heart, that is where you're going to find the contentment. It's going to be at this place. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And it doesn't mean it's always happy. But here, this just happened to me this week. Just this week, I went to Rhode Island Hospital to visit a man who comes to our church. He's one of our attenders. And he was given the news that they don't know if he has a week or a month to live. But you know, as he sat in his hospital, totally cognitive, as he sat in his hospital, he looked right at me and he said, I'm okay with that because I'm at peace with God. Sure, he says, I want to live, I want to continue to live longer, to be with my family. But if this is God's will, then thy will be done. You see, do you know how that happens? It's when our heart aligns to God's heart, not to be happy. That's not the goal. So, what did Jesus actually say about the heart? In Mark chapter 7, this is where we're going to start. Jesus has just finished talking to the crowds, and then the Pharisees come in and they criticize him. And as they criticize him, because his disciples don't wash their hands before they eat, like godliness or cleanliness is next to godliness, right? So they don't wash their hands before they eat through some ceremonial thing, and they're breaking all the traditions of the Jewish people, these elders. And Jesus just like drops this mic to them in the whole crowd. You know, he says, he's like, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of you. That's what defiles you. He like drops the mic. And then you know what he does? He walked away. He walked right into a house. And there in the house, the disciples follow him right in there. And they're like going, what did you just say? Oh, I have no clue. Like they're just like, right? And then look, jump, verse number 18, Jesus says to those disciples in the house, don't you understand either? Like, come on, guys, get with it. Can't you see that the food that you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer flush, right? By saying this, though, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes, in the Jewish culture, especially in this time. What? That's what he said. And then he went on, though. And then he added this. It is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's what? Say it with me. Out of a person's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceitful, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. That comes out of us because it's in us because of our heart. He says all these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. You know what he's doing? He's pointing back to a teaching that they knew from Jeremiah, from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah said this, the human heart is most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked, and then poses the question, who really knows how bad it is? And then God is like, I do. I can see in there, right? But I, the Lord, the very next verse, but I, the Lord, search all hearts. And he looks right into our hearts. He understands our motives. And he examines our secret motives. And then he says, I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Jeremiah 31, now go about halfway through the book of Jeremiah. About halfway, he says, the day is coming. Now, again, I don't have time to get into all the context, but this is like smack dab in the middle of this prophecy where in literary form, he's like, you've got to see this. This is like everybody, like you, this is what people would be highlighting. This is what you got to walk away with. The day is coming, Jeremiah says, he's prophesying about, it's going to happen in the future, says the Lord, when God says, when I will make a new covenant. We'll come back to new covenant in a second, but I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand, brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant. Though I love them as a husband loves his wife. Even in the Old Testament, we see the relationship aspect of God. He wants a relationship with you. He calls us to be into relationship with him, but it's our heart that defiles us. It's our heart that keeps us separated from him. But he's going to do something about that. There in the prophecy, here's what he wants to make sure that you know is happening. But this is the new covenant. He's like, I'm going to make this new covenant. And here's what it's going to look like. I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my instructions deep within them, inside of us. He says, I'm going to put that deep within them and I will write them on their, say it with me, hearts. This is a big deal. And again, when we hear heart, don't think that organ that pumps your blood. Think the innermost part of your being, of who you are that makes you up. That's the seat of all of your emotion, the seat of all of that inner person that you are. He is saying, I'm going to put this deep within you. I will be their God and they will be my people. You're going in the future, like at that point, he's saying there's going to come a time when you don't have to go to a temple to meet a holy God because you will become the holy temple where the holy God will come to live inside of you because I'll make your heart right. You say, how do you know that? Because at Jesus's Last Supper with his disciples in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 19. He, meaning Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces and he gave it to his disciples. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Why? He's just hours away from the cross. He's hours away from laying down his life to heal our sinful hearts, to heal what defiles us from the inside. Hours away from that. Look what he does. And after took another cup of wine and he said, this cup is what? The new covenant. Remember, that's what Jeremiah, he went all the way back there in the Old Testament. He grabbed that new covenant and he landed it right here. And he's like, I'm the new covenant. I'm the new covenant that's going to heal your heart. I'm the new covenant that's going to make it possible for a holy God to come and live inside of you. This is key to following Christ. And so you don't have to show up to a holy temple. And that God only shows up there. No, you now have become the temple of God. He makes your heart right in this new covenant. It's an agreement that's confirmed by my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you and I. So important. So the question would be, how do we align our heart to God's heart? Well, the first step is confession that Jesus is Lord. Have you taken that step? Because the very first step for you is actually to confess that Jesus really is Lord, that he is Savior. You invite him into your life. And when you invite him to come into your life, that's when he heals our heart from that all that defiles us. And he makes us holy. You don't make yourself holy. He made us holy by going to the cross, by shedding his blood. It's through the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He had power for what sin does to us. It brings death. Jesus overpowered that so that we can live in freedom with a right heart, holy and blameless and spotless before him. Here's the way the Apostle Paul said this in Romans 10:9. If you Rick Moore, will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe where? In your heart, in the innermost part of your being, that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. This is the very first step in becoming a Christ follower. So we invite you, if you haven't taken that step, man, today could be your day. But if you're like me, you have a heart that doesn't align to God, right? My default setting for my heart does not want to follow God. So I have to bring my heart into alignment. So how do we keep our hearts aligned to God's heart? Comes back to daily confession. In the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, which art in heaven, what's he tell us to do in this model prayer? To confess our sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. So part of walking with Jesus is taking time to reflect and saying, God, search my heart. Help me to see where did I miss it today? And it's a daily thing. It, you know, for people like me, it's like every 4 hours, right? I mean, it's just like, it's a lot. We have to have this in our life, daily reflection. Even in the Old Testament, Psalms says this, wash me, David, the writer of this psalm, says, wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin. But verse 10, watch how it happens. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Why? Because sometimes our sin weighs us down. You know why sometimes our spirits feel so heavy? Because you haven't asked for a clean heart. It says, renew a loyal spirit within me or a right spirit within me. But catch the idea of the renewal. It happens. We get renewed when we confess. There's something about doing this in our heart and with all of our heart. The Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's this phrase that continues to pop up, this idea of with all of your heart, like to seek God with all of your heart. Here's the way that Jeremiah, going back to that prophet and his prophecy, he says, you will come to me. He's quoting back to God. He's quoting God here. He's saying, God says, you will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. There's something about with all of our heart. And so I'm asking myself this question, okay, so what does that mean? Like, with all of my heart, what does that look like? Could I suggest to you this morning an art that we in the American church have lost? And that is prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. There's a recent statistic of how many American Christ followers actually have fasted in their lifetime. And it was in the single digits. In their lifetime. Do you realize that the church fasted twice a week? They would call Christ followers to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. And they did that for hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, it wasn't really recently until just the past couple of hundred of years. And that's like our American church. It's like we have lost this thing of searching God with all of our heart. This is what we do, searching God with all of our heart. This is what we do when we fast. We seek God with all of our heart, with all of our being, because it's about you bringing your body into subjection, into obedience. It's about you disciplining your body, because you are a spiritual being, and you are an emotional being, and you are a physical being. Holistically, this is who we are before God. We offer our whole selves. In Romans 12, he tells us to present your whole body as a living sacrifice. This is one way to see God with all of your heart, is by fasting. What is fasting? In the strictest of the definition, abstaining from eating for a period of time. It's just abstaining from eating for a period of time. So we have to ask this question. Why fast? Why fast? Well, Jesus modeled it. If you're a Christ follower, we're supposed to practice the way of Jesus. Jesus fasted. This was in his, not just his regular routine. Sometimes, in fact, in this passage in Matthew 4, he spent 40 days fasting. Well, yeah, that's like the marathon of marathons, right? 40 days, what are you? No, and he had a body just like you and I. He does not have Superman spider powers or anything like that, right? He's just got a human body like us, and he fasted for 40 days before he ever launched his ministry, before he went public with who he is as Messiah. Why do we fast? Fasting is an act of humility and consecration before God. In Ezra chapter 8 and verse number 21, Ezra says, I proclaim a fast by the Hava River so that we might what? Humble ourselves before our God. So he's declaring this fast. Why? Because it's an act of humility, but also to ask him for something specific. Ask him for a safe journey for us. Our dependents, our families, and all of our possessions. So they're fasting to have humility before God, acknowledging who God is, declaring their dependence that they would have safe passage back into their city. The prophet Joel declared a fast in Joel chapter 2 and verse number 12. Even now, this is the Lord's declaration. Turn to me, what? With all of your heart, and the next word is with fasting. See, this is an, I'm telling you, Christ followers, we're missing out. You and I are missing out in our connecting to God when we just move right past fasting. Fasting should be, and hey, I'm lifting my hand. I am not pointing the finger. I'm like pointing at me. I need to get into a better rhythm of this. So don't think I'm talking to, I'm teaching to me, I'm preaching to me. So with all of your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and he says, tear your hearts, because this is about the inside, not just your clothes. Return to the Lord your God. Why? Because he's gracious, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in faithful love, and he relents from sending disaster. Do you know that prayer added with fasting, we can actually change God's mind? His plan sometimes is to do one thing, but when we bring our prayers and our fasting, we actually see God's mind get changed. I don't have time to go to all the places, but trust me on that. Why fast? Fasting helps us to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's what we see in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 1, you got these group of guys. They've come together, and what are they doing in verse number 2? One day, as these men were what? Worshiping the Lord. So they're worshiping through prayer. They're worshiping through the scriptures, praying scriptures, and what? Fasting. So they're worshiping God through prayers, but they're worshiping God through their fasting. What happens? The Holy Spirit said, and then gave them a very clear directive. When we add fasting to our prayers, it makes us more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying, what he is doing, and we can better attune our ears to what God is calling us to do. And then, do you know what happens after this? After they heard this directive, you know what they do? More prayer and fasting. After more fasting and prayer, then they send them out into action. There's something that amplifies our prayers when we fast. There's something powerful that happens when we bring our prayers and our fastings together. And it just like somehow it grabs the attention of God. It amplifies, the way one teacher put it, it amplifies our prayers. And I'm going to end here. We could go on, but why fast? Because Jesus expected us to. It was an expectation of his. In Matthew chapter 6, in verses 16 through 18, he's looking at the disciples and he says, and when you fast, not if you feel like fasting, right? Not, oh, maybe one day, you know, oh, but no, not when you fast, he says, don't make it obvious. as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. But he says, I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they'll ever get. Those prayers aren't going to hit God. But watch what he says. He says, but again, when you fast, not if, when you fast, he's like, comb your hair, wash your face, don't put on a show. When no one, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. There's something mysterious here that happens about, Jesus never says, oh, and this is what the reward is. He never comes back and says anything about that, but there's some type of reward. And I can tell you this, one part of that reward is your heart gets aligned to God's heart. Man, there's no better place to be for a Christ follower than to have your heart aligned into God's heart. And here, I want you to hear this story this morning from a kid who grew up in this church. And, you know, went to college, got his MBA, and then he just like, God, as this young businessman entrepreneur, he's just searching God with his heart, and God totally changed his plans. Take a listen.
Hello, Hope Church family. My name is Josh Holt, and as some of you may know, I grew up going to Hope Church. The local church is always something I've had a massive heart for. I was involved in United long before it was ever called United, and in college I interned closely with Justin and Rick. But while the local church is something I have always had a heart for, long-term global missions was not. I told my mom when I was younger that I would, quote, never be a missionary, and she would just laugh at me. Eventually, I moved out of Rhode Island and got my MBA at Southeastern University in Florida, where I started a video production business and loved the work I did and the clients I worked alongside. Nowhere in my plan was there a spot for missions. But eventually, my church in Florida asked for me to join them on a short-term mission trip to Zambia to capture some video for them. I agreed, and while I was there, God moved me deeply. I saw the Lord heal people who were deaf and blind, and saw so many lives changed and begin relationships with the Lord. As the trip wrapped up, the leaders began telling me about an event the organization was putting on to minister to all of the chiefs of Zambia. I felt the Lord nudge me to see and ask if they needed help, but I tried to quiet the nudge in my spirit. Again, I felt it and asked them if that might be the case. It was. In fact, they've been praying for help with video at the event for months. So that October, I flew back, and there I saw God move again, powerfully. The event was no longer with just all 244 of the chiefs of Zambia, but the event included 57 other kings and queens throughout Africa as well. We were able to minister to them for several days, and as I sat with them during meals, many would express their desire for us to continue ministry not only with them, but with their people. One king in particular said, I have 14 areas in my nation that have yet to hear the gospel, and I'd love for you to take it to them. The doors had flung wide open for the gospel to be brought to the nations. And then I felt another nudge in my spirit that I was going to do work with them regularly. In my mind, this was going to be partnering with them to do some video work and share the gospel as they had need through my business. So I took the next step and signed up for a 3-month-long missions training program that I would undergo in the summer of 2023, still with no plans to become a missionary. My personal desire was to be a wealthy businessman and support the organization in that way. What a rude awakening I was in for. As the time progressed, during my training, I felt the Lord put on my heart the question, would you lay down your life to tell my story? To which my initial response was, of course I'd share your story, Lord. But it's not what he was asking. So I began wrestling and praying with that question for weeks and weeks until I finally decided in my heart that no matter where the Lord called me, I would lay down my life for him to share his story. And shortly thereafter, I was asked to join the organization to continue sharing his story throughout the nations. It took me a bit of time, but eventually I said yes, and I'm now a full-time missionary with Overland Missions. Overland Missions exists to reach remote people with the gospel and transform the lives of forgotten people by making disciples and developing leaders in nations all across the world. As of early 2024, we currently work in 17 countries across 4 continents with an emphasis on reaching as many unreached and remote people groups with the gospel as we can. Overland strategy is to work closely with traditional leadership, evangelizing whole villages at a time with short-term trips, which are then followed up with regularly by long-term missionaries based in the area. The sustainable approach is what first drew me to Overland, and it is something I'm so excited to be a part of. This past summer, I was able to participate on a recon into a remote desert area of Angola with the goal of finding a nomadic people group called the Himba, who had never before been reached with the gospel. Not only did we find them, but we were able to share the gospel with them and are developing a plan to plant a family with them long term, to disciple them and develop them as leaders so they too can share the gospel. Just in my short time in Angola, praying that we would encounter the Himba, they ended up walking into our camp from 100 miles away the first day we were there. Shortly after that, we were seeing them healed of pain throughout their bodies. After seeing God demonstrate his miraculous healing power, and they began to test what previously was in need of healing that had now been healed, the Himba men said to us, "Okay, your God is real, and he will become our God, and we will take him to our people." How amazing that God's healing power is still alive and well, and he is able to bring people to trust in him in miraculous ways still to this day. I'm so excited that in my role, even thus far, I have seen the Lord move so powerfully, seeing countless salvations and healings in numerous countries. I told the Lord years ago that whenever he opens a door, I would walk through it. That while I may not understand it, I have faith in him, and that I know his plans and desires for me are good. So while I likely never would have said yes to this call on my own, it was the simple yeses as he opened doors for me that led me to where I am today. I genuinely believe that I have the best job on the planet, seeing lives be transformed left and right and getting to share his story throughout the nations. And so, here I am. I've now dedicated my life to exactly that, laying down my life to share his story. I hope you'll join me in this incredible journey.
Isn't that powerful? See, that's how God can change a heart. His heart wasn't to be a missionary. His heart was to be, you heard him say it, a wealthy businessman. And let me tell you, the ways that he has seen God, he didn't share this in the video, but do you know that at the end when he's talking about those tribal people who had walked 100 miles and stumbled upon them, you know, all that was arranged by God. Do you know, they came with machetes, and when they showed up, they were ready to kill people. But they encountered the power of God. They heard this message, and then they experienced the power of God in healing. And that, and then they're like, come back to our village and share this. I mean, that's the power of God. That's what God can do when we align our hearts to him. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm putting my money on that guy, right? I'm investing. I'm calling you, right? He is at 71%. He needs 29% more to be fully funded. In the bulletin, in the church app, there are ways that you can reach out to Josh and help support him and help him to become fully funded. But I'm telling you, more people are going to come to Jesus because Josh is with a team of people working his way through these remote tribal areas and bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to them. Church, we've got to get behind somebody like that, right? So I encourage you to reach out, find that information that's in the bulletin, and maybe you can personally support him. As a church, we are supporting him, but maybe you personally could help him get to that place. But it comes back to this, as a Christ follower, the goal isn't to follow your heart to be happy. The goal is about heart alignment. It's to align your heart. And it's for that reason we're going to call our whole church to a prayer and fasting in the month of May for 3 weeks, and not even a whole week. So you get Monday through Friday, starting on May the 6th, Monday through Friday, and then the next two consecutive weeks. So for three Monday through Fridays, we're asking you, will you join us in prayer and fasting? How do you prepare for this? Well, here's how you need to prepare. First, you need to ask yourself the question, what are you going to fast? Because some people take medications. You're just not medically cleared to fast from food. So if you can't, or maybe you have some kind of history with food, and if you started fasting, it would trigger that. We don't want that to happen to you, right? So there are other ways that you can join in. And that if you can't fast food, maybe it's you abstain, You abstain from social media. You abstain from all the streaming shows, you know, that you do. And or whatever it is, something that takes a chunk of your time, something that, you know, you are like totally into, and you choose not to do that, but instead you choose to pray, to read scripture, to be silent and listen for a longer period of time than you normally do. You need to prepare. You need to decide what day or days will you fast. For some of you, going Monday through a Friday would be like saying, hey, tomorrow, run a marathon. You know, just get out of bed and roll out, right? So you may not be there yet. So maybe it's just one day each week that you would fast. If that's where you're at, we want you to start where you are. But if you think you're a little further down the road and you would like the challenge, then maybe it would be a Monday through a Friday, and that maybe for you, you are going to fast a lunch every day, you know, or supper every day, or whatever it is in that week. Whatever works for your schedule, you figure that out between you and God, and then plan extra time for prayer, for listening, for solitude, because the goal is to be with Jesus. This is the goal, to be with Jesus so that you can become like Jesus, so that you can do what Jesus did. Because that's possible. It's possible for you to do this. And watch how your prayers are amplified. Watch how you hear from God during this time. We are going to have a prayer and fasting guide. We'll talk more about that as the time comes. And then I'm just throwing these dates out. You can start calendaring now. Plan to come to one of the three prayer nights that are going to be held right here at the church. These are Wednesday nights, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. Plan to come to 6:30 to 8. And it will be a guided prayer time. But also, you know, when you are finished praying, you can exit, you can leave, right? So I encourage you, each one of these nights will have a different theme and it will be structured a little bit differently. What I am very excited about the 15th, because our students are going to lead us through prayer stations. The student leadership team did this for themselves, and they had an encounter with God. And then they went back and they did it for the whole youth group. They invited the whole youth group to come, and they had an encounter with God. And they were like, man, we would like to do this at some point with the church. And when I heard about that, I'm like, how can we make this happen, right? This is perfect timing. So on the 15th, they're going to take that, and they're going to lead us. The students are going to lead us through these prayer stations. It'll be amazing. Here's our next steps. So you take the connection card in. The connection card's for every one of us, because here's what I'm asking. For all of us to take some type of step. Here's the first one. You would say, Rick, count me in. I'm willing to take a step by fasting together with the church for those 3 weeks in May. I will start preparing now so I can set myself up for successful fast. If you're joining us online, I'd encourage you online to let us know. Fill out that connection card. There's a link there. We want to pray for you, because you know what's going to happen? You're going to come up with every excuse possible why this can't happen. And this may just need be what you need to have a breakthrough in your spiritual life, is to actually have dedicated time for prayer and fasting. So won't you join us? Let us know. We want to pray for you by name. The next step, step number two, I am a follower of Christ, but my heart isn't aligned to his heart. Please pray I'll take the necessary steps to allow transformation from within to change my daily living. We want to pray for you. Circle step number two, and let's see what God does in your life over these next week. And then the last next step. This is for those of you who haven't yet taken the very first step in what it means to follow Christ and to becoming a Christ follower. That's what this one is. It says, I know my heart isn't aligned with God's heart because I've never surrendered my life over to Jesus. I have never called upon Jesus as my Savior. Please pray for me as I consider this step. Would you let us know? We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you by name. So that's step number three. Put your name on there. Our prayer team, our staff team, will be praying for these for you.